episode number 59 of the Mitch and Neil's Bulls Show. Your look at the Chicago Bulls from a fan perspective. We're not experts. We're not insiders. We're not journalists, but we are two guys that love talking about the Chicago Bulls. On this week's episode, though, I am rolling solo. Congratulations to Nils. He tied the knot last night. It was a beautiful event. So congratulations to Nils and Mrs. Nils, the new Mrs. Nils. It was so awesome to see those guys, do their thing last night. So really happy about that. But going on to the Bulls, Nils will be missed, but we're going to be bringing on Christopher Kason of TheExaminer.com. He's a Bulls insider and beat writer, a lot of access to the team and the players. He's going to be talking to us about all of the preseason headlines, obviously the return of Derrick Rose and the injury bug hitting the Bulls with Joe, Jimmy, and Kirk all going out. So we'll be talking about that, whether those things kind of bleed over to the real games, the regular season. Now, before we talk to him, we're going to get you caught up with a few things going on in Bulls Show world. Check us out, thebullsshow.com. That's a new website. And if you go on there, you'll learn about two really important events for our Chicago-based listeners. We're about a week away from our first annual Bulls Show Trivia Showdown. That's going down at a State Restaurant in Lincoln Park. That's on the 28th Monday, next Monday at 7 p.m. It's a team trivia event, and the team with the most points, the most that does the best at our Bulls trivia event will be taking home $500. We'll also have other prizes for our other teams from our sponsors at GM Beam. It's going to be really exciting, guys. We're going to be covering everything from Carlos Boozer to Benny the Bulls. Should be really, really exciting. History of the Bulls, the season coming up, stuff about Derek, stuff about the rest of the league. Should be really exciting. That's going on Monday. The day before, on Sunday, will be our Bulls Show Fantasy Basketball League Draft. I believe we have one more spot left, one, maybe two more spots. So if you're interested in joining the Bulls Show Fantasy Basketball League, definitely hit us up at thebullsshow@gmail.com. And speaking of websites, please check out all of our sponsor websites, the places that you can hear the Bulls Show, gowherehiphop.com, the Bulls podcasters, Shot City Sports, and bloggable.com. All right, guys, with no further ado, let's talk to Christopher Kason, a Bulls insider. You can check him out on Twitter at C4Dunk. Guys, we'll be back in 1 second with the Bulls Show. All right, back on the Mitch and Neil's Bulls Show. Rolling solo, but we got my man from TheExaminer.com, Chris Kason, on the line. Chris, how you feeling, man?
Mitch, thank you for having me. I'm feeling good. A little bit tired, but, you know, I can't complain.
Well, you've probably been having to go to writing a lot of stories and a lot of talk, and, you know, a lot of stuff on Twitter about the Bulls. I think a lot of the fans are excited about this new season.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm glad the excitement, you know, is back. You know, it's definitely going to be a long season, I feel, health permitting. But, you know, it should be a fun ride, you know, and it's good to see that all of that stuff from last season has been carried over, like all of the talk and all of the critics, the doubters, like, you don't see them anymore.
Nah, you don't. It's really fun to see, talk about basketball and not talk about all that off-the-court stuff. So let's get into it. You know, two big storylines I see for the preseason have been Derrick Rose's excellent play. That's the good news. And the Bulls being kind of bit with the injury bug. That's the bad news. So let's talk about the latter. Let's talk about the Bulls and injuries. We've seen Kirk go down. Noah has been pulled out. And Jimmy Butler hasn't played a couple games with a knee injury. Let's go by those guys one by one. First, let's talk about Kirk. And his concussion. You wrote about that a little bit on your blog on examiner.com. Tell me about what's going on with Kirk.
Oh, well, you know, basically in that game against Indiana, midway through the fourth quarter, the leader was going up for, you know, a shot attempt and, you know, came down and, you know, hit the back of his head on Eric Murphy's knee. And, you know, took him a while to get up and, you know, try to regain his composure. And you can see that was most likely a concussion, and, you know, the test shortly after the game revealed that he'll probably, you know, I would assume that he'll probably be out for the remainder of preseason, you know, just from, you know, all the injuries he went through last year. You don't really need him playing, you know, trying to rush back for one last preseason game. You know, it's all about getting ready for Miami.
Well, if we don't see Kirk, that's like, that means that we'll likely see Marcus Teague and maybe see Mr. James. What do you see going to happen with that, you know, race for the third point guard spot?
Oh, I mean, that's very interesting because, you know, I believe Mike James has as good a chance to make this roster as any of those last three remaining guys. I mean, Mike James included, but there's also Dexter Pittman and there's DJ White. And I think Mike James is probably, you know, him and Dexter Pittman right now head to head, you know, to make the final roster. But, you know, I believe Tibbs, you know, loves Mike James. Mike James knows the system and everything. I see him having the slight edge right now in terms of playing time in the preseason, you know, over Marcus Teague, you know, just because he's reliable right now. And you still, you know, Marcus has his moments, but he also has moments where he's turnover prone and he still looks a little bit like he's unsure of what he wants to do out there. I mean, but, you know, so far, if you're giving him a grade on the preseason, I'll give Marcus a C. He looks way a lot better than he did, you know, any of last season.
Now, there's been some talk of Teague possibly being moved. Utah was thrown around. A couple other teams were thrown around. Do you see the Bulls kind of moving on James, kind of as they did with maybe a James Johnson or a player of that sort?
Oh, not really, because I really don't think the value, you know, of Teague is that high. You know, there has to be, you know, even if in the case of Utah, who's without Trey Burke, and they really don't have any options after him, you know, Teague has to play to be able to show what he can do. You know, I believe that was just a rumor, you know, Teague and talking to Teague, you know, he really doesn't want to go to Utah. You know, he would like to remain here, but, you know, I still think, you know, he's going to have to play in order to, you know, show some kind of value, because right now, you know, hasn't really shown anything outside of an improved shooting touch. And he still, I don't think Utah would bring, you know, him in to necessarily run the show right away. I mean, I'm pretty sure there's other options out there that are more reliable than Teague at this point.
How's his confidence been? How's his attitude been? You've got an opportunity to speak with him during the preseason. What is he feeling?
I mean, Teague is always confident. I remember the media day just talking about, you know, the summer he had in summer league, you know, pretty much where he was running that entire team. And, you know, outside of the turnover issues, which I credited to, you know, not really having any chemistry with the guys that were on the roster, I mean, he ran that team fairly well, and they also, you know, score when the opportunities presented themselves. I mean, right now it's a bit of a situation where, you know, Thibodeau is a hard driving coach, and at the same time, Teague doesn't want to make mistakes. So he's still kind of playing to that way where he's kind of cautious of what he does. And I believe once Teague gets to playing instead of thinking, you know, you'll start to see more productiveness from him. I mean, you've seen him, I believe the game in Indiana, he's had moments this preseason where, you know, he's more comfortable out there and where he's just playing to play and not playing to not make mistakes, which was largely the case last season. But, you know, I think he'll be that. I don't know where his minutes will come from this year, especially if Kirk can remain injury free. But, you know, there are some, you know, he has played with Kirk, you know, sometimes in the backcourt.
Yeah,
and, you know, he's done fairly well. But, you know, like I said, those turnovers are the issue. And, you know, it's not going to give him enough opportunity to be out there on the floor if he can't control that.
Let's move to the front court. We've seen Joe Noah out a number of games with his, you know, groin injury. Is that something that you think is going to carry over to the regular season?
You know, with a groin, that's a very tricky occurrence because, you know, a groin could be feeling, you know, good for a couple of days and then you step wrong, you know, in the game or in practice, and then you tweak it again. I mean, I don't know how significant the strain was, you know, during the first week of preseason, but I mean, training camp, but, you know, there's obviously a significant strain, you know, if he's been held out of practice, you know, this long and, you know, has been set down for about a week now. I don't think it's going to be, you know, a factor going forward. You know, I believe they will try to get him to play one more preseason game because, you know, with the way the team played last year, the offense was ran a lot through Noah, and now you have Derek back, and I'm pretty sure a lot of the offense for sure is going to go through him now. You want those two guys on the floor just to make sure that chemistry, you know, you can get a little bit of cohesiveness, you know, just in that final tune-up game before Miami. But I don't think the injury is going to be, you know, any significant moving forward. You know, they're doing the best they can as far as rehabbing, and all he can do is right now is just get rehab and recover as fast as he can. He also said before the Pacers game that he didn't feel that, you know, this would be a lingering issue at all, and I have to go with his word.
Now, if he does not suit up for the Bulls, if he's out for any time, we'll likely see Nazir Muhammad step in at the five, right?
Yes.
And then we've seen Taj Gibson play pretty well. Is he going to be playing more minutes at the five, you think, as a backup five? Or what will the Bulls do with the rotations? Will you see Dang at the four, like we saw a little bit at the end of that Pacers game? How will the Bulls kind of
adjust their rotations? Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. Just like you said, I mean, the one strength Chicago has is, you know, that versatility. You know, Taj has gotten a lot of minutes, you know, at the five. Even Eric Murphy has gotten, you know, some time, you know, because of Noah's injury. But I believe you'll see a lot of Taj at the five. Then you have Carlos and Lou alternating between the four spot. Jimmy, once he becomes healthy, he can play that three. And then you could have Hyrick, once he's healthy, you know, in the backcourt, roll some. You could also even throw in Tony Snell, who's played fairly well, you know, the past two games as far as his offense is concerned.
You know, speaking of Jimmy, we've seen him out a couple games. What's the story on Jimmy Butler?
Oh, well, I believe he'll miss tomorrow's game against Milwaukee because with all of these nicks and nacks so far, the Bulls are being fairly cautious, you know, just because they know that this is probably like the last shot, you know, the core of this team will be together. And they're kind of treating it that way. All the talks this year is not even on Derek anymore. You know, all the words that he's been talking about is this championship, you know, and I believe the focus is on, you know, getting guys as healthy as possible and keeping them healthy. You know, a meaningless preseason game against Milwaukee isn't going to hurt at all. I believe Jimmy will probably be back to finish the last two preseason games. But right now, you know, they're just trying to get, you know, the swelling and of their left knee down and, you know, get them comfortable out there and making cuts.
So if you were to predict, you think that both Butler and Noah will be in the starting lineup for our season opener against Miami?
No, definitely. No question about it.
All right. Well, let's switch over to the man of the hour, Derrick Rose. Obviously had an excellent game against Indiana. He's played impressively throughout the regular season. Preseason. Would you be surprised if he kind of just picked off where he left off and stayed or returned at a high level?
Not at all. I mean, because I think nobody would expect it, you know, him to be playing at this level this early. You know, everybody, you know, thought that, you know, maybe, you know, you go into late October, early November, you'll start seeing flashes, and he did a very good job pacing himself throughout the preseason so far. The first two games was pretty much just to let everybody know, like, hey, look, I'm still going to be the same driving player I was before I left. You know, only thing that's added now is the consistent threat of the jumper has been there. And, you know, I'm not surprised at all just because, you know, I was hearing all summer the work he's putting in. Like, even last year, I was watching this guy warming up before games that, you know, to see what he did against Indiana, it's kind of scary that preseason game. I mean, and Miami, when the lights are on him, you know, Derek plays his best against the best. So I just want to see what happens in Miami. But I'm not surprised at all, you know, as far as his production this far. I am surprised he's shooting this well, especially from deep the last two games. But, you know, not surprised at all just because of how much work he's put into.
Now, in terms of minutes in the regular season, do you see Derek taking on that previous role, playing 35, 36 minutes a game, or do you think the Bulls are going to try to tone down his minutes to kind of, you know, save him a little bit for the postseason?
I believe he'll be right around 35 to 36 minutes, depending on, you know, if it's a tight game or something. You might see him in that area of having to play 40, 41 minutes, but I believe everybody's minutes this season, you know, even I still think Lou and Jimmy might be, you know, the highest minutes per game, you know, on this team. They'll be right around 37, 39, you know, just in their range, just because of, you know, the defense they play in, just the versatility they have. And I don't know if you can trust Tony Snell just yet, but, you know, back to what you're saying about Derek, I do believe he'll be in that 35 to 36 range, because you do want to conserve him at some point, because, you know, you've seen in the preseason so far, you know, he reported a little bit of soreness in that left knee. I want to see how they handle him with back-to-back situations also. But, yeah, I believe he'll be right in that minute range.
Now, do you think that's going to kind of create any friction or discomfort with the front office? Do you think that they are going to want to see some, you know, some reduced minutes for the starters in the regular season?
That was one of the things that was talked about this summer, as far as, you know, managing minutes and just making sure that guys are fresh for when the postseason does come. You know, I don't know. Thibodeau only knows how to coach one way, and he coaches to win. So, you know, if Derek's sitting at that 36, 38-minute range, and, you know, there's 2 minutes, or let's say 5 minutes, and it's a tight ball game, Derek's going to be in to finish, you know, the remainder of that game. And Derek's not going to have any issue with that, because Derek wants to remain on the floor. I don't see it being, unless something happens.
Now, going back to Derek a little bit, this play, I've always been a supporter of Derek's decision to take the year off. I think you've been there as well. But do you think this play, if he comes back and continues his excellent play, do you think that's evidence that, you know, he should have come back earlier? Or do you think it's proof that, you know, maybe taking a year off was a good idea?
I think, you know, this play so far has, you know, proven that, you know, he made the best decision possible, you know, and it was his decision to make, and it was for the reason, because you just look at the way he's played so far. I mean, just full throttle as far as pushing the ball up the court, attacking bigs like Roy Hibbert and David West, Greg Monroe, like those guys. You look at the style he plays and you ask yourself, you know, could he have come back against Miami or Brooklyn if he wasn't but mentally that he was ready to come back? I mean, you look at how strong he is now, you know, you look at the jump shot, the explosion, you know, he made absolutely the right decision. You know, if this was a guy like a big man or something like that, then maybe you can make that argument. But when you look at somebody that has such a unique game in terms of explosion, athleticism, and, you know, just a bounce at that size, you know, you don't argue with, you know, somebody taking as much time as possible to get healthy with that kind of injury.
Yeah,
especially with, you know, with the stock, you know, this is the franchise guy. You know, this isn't any six man or anything that's going to put the team over the top. You know, this is the guy, the centerpiece.
And I totally agree with you. You know, it seems to me to be the right decision, and we'll see where his play is at going forward. And let's talk about some other things, just kind of some random things before we let you go. We talked a little bit about Taj Gibson. He's clearly played better. Most notably, he's gotten stronger. Looks like he's extended his range. Is that something that you think Bulls fans are going to be able to enjoy during the regular season, or are we kind of working with a small sample size theater?
No. I mean, you know, you just look at the confidence Taj is playing with now. I mean, he's finally back to playing and not thinking, and, you know, so much happened for him last season as far as, you know, coming into training camp, not having that contract extension. And I'm sure that was on his mind. He's even like gone on the record to talk about, you know, he thought about that a lot last year. I mean, he had new teammates. He was pretty much, you know, put in a leadership position of that second unit, and then injuries on top of that. So he dealt with a lot last year and committed himself to the gym this summer, got stronger, you know, worked on his shot, which is evident. I mean, I haven't seen teams closing out on hard like they have on Tyus Jumper in the preseason ever, you know, since he's been in the league. So I think this is something that continues. You know, you look at the footwork of him in the post, you look at how the strength has helped, you know, him be able to muscle his way in for, like, offensive rebounds and stuff like that. You know, I expect Tyus to have a big year. And, you know, even though it's a small sample size, I do expect him, you know, to contend for that Most Improved Player award.
Does he look like a guy that you think that could, down the line, depending upon what happens with the roster, that can be a competent starting four in the NBA?
Wait, could you repeat that?
With what's going on with the roster in the future, what could happen in the roster in the future, do you think Gibson is going to be able to develop into a guy that could be a pretty competent starting four in the NBA?
Well, you know, I think so. You know, if you would have asked me that question, you know, this summer or even last season, I was like, you know, he's in the best position for himself, you know, energy guy, you know, coming off the bench, you know, plays defense, you know, you could bring that guy in a close game. But, you know, just offensively, the way that's caught up now, I believe, even elevates, you know, to where he's in that 15 to 16 points per game range. I could see him being a solid, you know, starting four.
All right, that sounds good. Now, I think we're done talking about the Bulls. Let's move on to the rest of the NBA. We've kind of, you know, played some games with some of our guests before. We really appreciate you coming on. We want to do the same with you. Let's play a game called Contender or Pretender. I picked out five teams that are on the cups of kind of NBA greatness, NBA success this year, 2013, 2014. You tell me if you think they're a contender or a pretender. Let's start off with the Brooklyn Nets. Obviously made some great additions with Kevin Garnett, Jason Terry, and Paul Pierce. Do you think these guys are going to be contenders, or do you think it's all hype?
You know, it's still hard because, you know, that team is very, very old, you know, to me. You know, I still wonder about when they get, you know, depending on who they draw. But just with Kevin Garnett, you know, he's a culture changer, you know, so I wouldn't never put anything past him. I would say, you know, they're a threat in the East. I wouldn't put them at contender status just because, you know, I have to see how it all plays out. You know, a lot is going to have to ride with Deron Williams, and if he can stay healthy, you know, Paul Pierce is like all of those guys, if they can stay healthy. And then you got a rookie coach. There's so much going on in Brooklyn. I'll say they're a threat. You know, I'm not going to disrespect them and call them a pretender, but I don't think they're that big a contender as, you know, everybody thinks.
Somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, right in the middle.
All right. Golden State Warriors surprised a lot of people last year. They got to the playoffs and actually got past the first round. They added Andre Iguodala, who kind of tormented the Bulls a couple seasons ago. Do you see those guys as a contender or pretender?
Well, I mean, if you look in the West, you know, there's so many question marks. You know, there's no in the West at all. You know, it's pretty much open in the West until San Antonio sneaks up and surprises everybody like they're known for. But, you know, I'm going to say in the Western Conference, to come out the West, they're a contender. I mean, you look at, you know, if Andrew Bogut stays healthy, that gives them big. He brought over Iguodala, who can now guard, you know, other teams' best perimeter players. He can also handle the ball. That creates more off the ball opportunities for Stephen Curry, where he doesn't have to control the ball, run the pick and roll, you know, get his shot, freeze him up a little bit, where he doesn't have to have so many responsibilities out there on the floor. I do think losing Jared Jack hurts him a little bit just because of that spark he brought off of the bench, but I believe Harrison Barnes can, you know, bring some of that in his second year. So I'm going to go ahead and give them contender in the West just because it's so wide open.
Another team in the West, the Houston Rockets, added D12. And there's talk that they may pair Dwight Howard with Omer Sheikh on the floor, former Bull. If they don't do that, they definitely have questions at the four. Do you see those guys as a contender or a pretender?
That's a tough one. just with Dwight, you know, I give them a chance. Like, if he's back to, you know, pre-back injury Dwight Howard, then, you know, I'm going to put them in, you know, contender status. You know, there's so many points. You know, I just have to see, like, these guys play a couple games. I've seen two Rockets games so far, and the most impressive player to me was Patrick Beverley, just in terms of, you know, ball hawking. You know, Jeremy Lin better watch out, you know, for playing time down there. I'm gonna put them, you know, in contender range just because, you know, they have shooters, you know, they can space the floor for Dwight, and then you got Harden, you know, out there who's pretty much blossoming into a superstar, you know, so I'm gonna put them in contender status.
Yeah, definitely. You brought up Patrick Beverley. You got to watch out for those Chicago guys, man. They'll get you every single time. Really excited to see if he can take a Jeremy Lin's job. Now, number four, fourth team we're going to bring up, New York Knicks. There's been a lot of talk about, you know, Carmelo Anthony possibly testing the free agent waters, and this being an important season. For the franchise, do you see those guys as contenders or pretenders?
Pretenders, you know. I just look at, you know, the main, you got all of this stuff happening now. You got J.R. Smith, you know, had off-season knee surgery. I don't even think he's played this preseason, I believe. Amon Shumpert will be the starting two there, and you bring Smith off the bench. But, you know, I just look at, you know, some of the holes. You know, is Andre Bargnani the answer? No, you know, I still see them playing the same way they played last year. They're good enough to get out of, you know, the first round, depending on seeding this year, but they might not even get out of the first round, depending on who they draw, you know, in the East. And then I think when you got Amari, you don't know what you're going to get from him. Carmelo, you do know what you're going to get from him in terms of, you know, point production. But, you know, it's just all of those questions by Tyson Chandler. You know, if he gets in foul trouble, who's your backup big? You know, there's so much stuff to worry about. And then you got free agency movement for him. So there's going to be a cloud, you know, over the team's head the entire season. So I put them in pretender status.
I think I have to agree with you. The East is just so tough this year with the Bulls and the Pacers and Miami. And we talked about Brooklyn. Not a lot of room at the top for teams looking to win the East. Finally, speaking of the East, Indiana Pacers. Obviously, the Bulls got a great win over the Pacers, at least in the preseason a couple of days ago. And Derrick Rose came out, kind of talked about how the Pacers, he did not feel like the Pacers were as an important rival, I say, as the Miami Heat. Do you see the Pacers as a contender or a pretender?
No, definitely. I mean, just as a contender, you know, just with that front line, you know, a lot is going to have to do with Paul George's continued development, Danny Granger getting fully acclimated, you know, back into his own, but, you know, definitely a contender. You know, when you look at Roy Hibbert, if he plays like Roy Hibbert in that Heat series, then, you know, it's a tough matchup because there aren't too many bigs. I mean, the Heat have Greg Oden there now, but, you know, pretty much, you know, Chris Bosh is going to be guarding him a lot. So, and then David West is, you know, pretty much a thug in basketball clothing. But, yeah, I put them at contender just because, you know, they strengthen their bench. You know, one thing that I think is going to hold them back is just point guard play. You know, George Hill is pretty much a small two guard. To me, he's not a driving kick kind of point guard. He's pretty much a spot up guy who's able to drive sometimes, but he's not the guy to, you know, set guys up or put guys in a position to make things easier for them. I believe that's going to come down to being Paul George's job, you know, once the season progresses, and sometimes even Lance Stevenson, you know, depending on if you bring him off the bench or if you start him. I would kind of, you know, it's some questions there too, because, you know, you don't know if they start Lance or if they start Granger at the two there.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you about that. That's a really interesting situation. Yeah. If you were a coach of the Pacers,
yeah, it is. I mean,
what would you do if you were the coach of the Pacers? That's a really interesting situation. Before Danny Granger got injured, he was, you know, the face of the franchise, and he was one of the top players in the NBA. And, you know, Paul George kind of taking that role for him What would you do?
Well, I would actually, you know, start Lance, you know, that way Ranger can play his natural position, you know, in the second unit. And he would still be playing starters minutes if he came off the bench. The same with Lance. But, you know, right now when you're looking in terms of matchup, Lance is 6'5", big physical too, capable of, you know, driving, passing the ball out some, even capable of playing, you know, some point guard and handling some of those duties. You know, I would actually start Lance. And, you know, that way there's no confusion. You don't have, you know, Granger out there playing the two. You don't have Paul George playing the two because the three is his natural position. So I would just roll with my lineup from last year. And now you have, you know, an all-star caliber talent, you know, back on the bench for you. You know, it just makes the bench that much more formidable.
Well, I think I'd agree with you. It's very interesting to see what happens with the Pacers. I agree with you. They're certainly contenders with the Bulls and Miami in the East. Well, Christopher, thank you so much for coming on the show. We really appreciate it every time you come on. Listeners, if you want to catch up with Chris, you can. C4Dunk is the Twitter handle. He's a great Twitter follow. He's got all the inside news, being a beat reporter for the Chicago Bulls. He's got great access to the team. So, once again, Chris, thank you so much for coming on the show.
And, Mitch, thank you for having me. Pleasure as always.
No problem.